Guys, welcome to another episode on Yinka's Meals. Yay! So gradually, this year is like, you know, going to an end. This is October. So anyway, this week on the podcast, I'll be talking about, you know, the ongoing trend right now in Nigeria. If you are listening from Nigeria, you know that right now, this week, one of the trends we have going on online was the BBC iAfrica documentary that came out about sex for grades. And after I finished watching the disturbing video, I thought about it that I was going to, you know, share a personal experience about it, you know, an experience I had when I was in uni. And then, you know, I was like, okay, let me hear from other people too. Because when I went on social media all through this week, and most of the things I read, I saw, you know, a lot of people sharing their experiences about, you know, what they went through and how they had to deal with it. And then we also saw some other people who were saying, apart from the fact that some of these lecturers, they usually, you know, sleep with these girls, there are also some girls who would actually give themselves to these lecturers. And my point of view was that these people don't get to understand that the conversation right now is not for some, it's not about a particular lady who went to meet a lecturer in the view to seduce the lecturer because she wanted marks or whatever. This particular conversation is about people who are, whether they are being diligent or not diligent, or whether they are facing whatever issues they had to deal with in their university days. The point of the bone of contention rather is the fact that, you know, these people have been assaulted by these lecturers. And another angle is that the fact that a lady goes to see a lecturer and has the point of view to, like, you know, or has the, what's the word right now, as the, you know, thought or desire to seduce the lecturer because she wants something, the lecturer is in a position to be able to say no, send the student out, do something, probably even get her expelled. But the fact that the lecturer should be able to say no, because you are in the place of power. And that's what people don't understand, you know, when it's in a relationship thing. Now, okay, you guys, you are partners, so nobody is holding the cards over you. Nobody has much power over you. And that's why there was like much more conversation when the issue between Bill Clinton and the lady he had an affair with in the White House happened. Because, you know, in as much as people say, oh, there was consent, the lady was over 18 and everything, in as much as there was consent even in play at the time, the point was that Bill Clinton was in a point of power. Like, he was holding all the power. You know, he was a powerful man, he was the president of the United States of America at the time and everything. So people felt that, so people were talking for the place of, like, the fact that you are in a place of power, apart from the fact that you are married and everything, you are not meant to have had that kind of relationship with this person. This person was your intern and was serving under you. And that's why even in the places of in companies, when people who are working together are deciding to have a relationship, in a place where these people, you know each other, or in a place where one of the parties is like the boss, you know, maybe like the hierarchy position in the office is quite higher than the other, then they will need to go and see the HR for proper, you know, understanding to let us know that, oh, nobody was assaulted, nobody was this, nobody was that. And that's why this question, these conversations come into play. And it's a very good time to start having these conversations now, because this thing has been going on in our university system from time immemorial. And, you know, we have cases. I remember when I was in 200 level, I was doing, because I studied agricultural science in the university. And I remember, you know, I had, like, there was one of my papers, AGN 205. And after I wrote that exam, by the time I got into 300 level, my results just didn't come out. I didn't know why. You know, they just said, awaiting results. And, you know, every time I'll go and fill a request slip, I'll submit it to the department. They should help me check for this result. They should help me check for it. Nah, nothing came out. So by the time I got to 400 level in the university, you know, in my department, my faculty, we usually go for like farm year, and then we have an IT time. So if you have more than 6 units in my university at the time, you will not be allowed to go for IT, and that automatically means you have an extra year already. Like, it's just K constant. So at that time I was in 400 level, I already had 6 units, 2 courses. One was in 100 level, the other one was in 200 level, and two of those courses, they were AR. In fact, for my physics 101, no, that was 100 level, the complaint I got was that I didn't even sit for the exam. That was, and I sat for this exam. And there were times when, you know, I would go to the physics department and I had to go and, they allowed me to search for my paper and I never found it, and it was an exam I sat down for. But for this AGN 205, you know, there were already rumors going on in the department that the lecturer in charge was an humanizer, was, even if at that time this man was a pastor, as in pastor, we know the church is one of these holy church. And you know, every time I would go to his office, man would try, you know, shout. And because, you know, I usually go to his office every time to request for my results and everything, man already knew my face. So like every time, you know, maybe I ran into the man, now shall be giving me side high. My dear listeners, it was with prayers and supplication I used to get my result. And there was one day like that, I just prayed and prayed and prayed, and I just went to his office that day. I took my request slip with him and it was like, oh, you're here again. I said, yes sir, like my Gen 205, because I needed to go for my IT so that I wouldn't have an extra year at the time. But the point was that, as God would have it, he didn't even check. He just wrote a grade for me and he told me to go, and everything was fine. And then one of the close experiences I had with this sex for grade thing was when I was in my final year, in 500 level. I can't remember the course I was writing at the time, but it was an exam I was writing, and there was this lecturer. He was in the department, like he was teaching genetics, and there was also rumors, but not just rumors, that this man too was in this, you know, sex for grade thing, sleeping with students and everything. And this man was just locking around my seat as I was writing my papers and everything. Anyway, by the time I finished writing my paper for that particular exam and I wanted to go and submit, this man was one of the people that he went to like sit in the area where, you know, there's no way I would pass, and I would not pass in front of him, and he would not have to collect my paper. So by the time I got there, I wanted to give him my paper, and I said, "Hey, what's your name?" I can't remember what I was wearing that day. The point was, I just like, "What's your name?" And I told him my name. He asked that, "Where do I stay?" That the area where I stay in the school area, and I told him that. I just thought within my head, like, why is this lecturer asking me where I stay around school area? Because he asked me that, do I stay in school area or do I stay in the town? And I was like, oh, I stay in school area. I was like, oh, where do you stay? Thankfully for me, at the time, I had an uncle who was a lecturer, but in another department, not in my department, but it was well known. So maybe I said, oh, I stay with grandpa. He was like, are you an indigene? I was like, no, I'm not an indigene. And I was like, oh, so do you have someone who lecturer? Like, yeah, my uncle is a lecturer. And I was like, oh, what's the name of your uncle? Because the man had already brought out his phone. He was about to collect my phone number. It wasn't like, what's the name of my uncle? And I told him the name of my uncle. And I said, Omo Babanye. And I was like, that was what saved me. Because I don't know what would have happened if I didn't know a lecturer who I was related to. That was one. Two, we've heard of cases where even if you know someone, there are some lecturers that don't even care whether you know anybody or not. They don't even send you. As long as they have an interest in you, as long as they want to have something with you, they are going to go for you, irrespective of whatever it is. And I just felt that, you know, so listening to watching the video, the documentary, it was quite disheartening. And even if there are a lot of ladies who have succumbed to the pressure, and there are people who have stood on their ground, stood on their truth, and some of them have had to, you know, drop out from school and everything. But the point is that these things are happening, and we cannot shy away from the conversation. That does not mean that, and it is not actually, it's not the time for people to now say, what about the guys? The guys that cannot sleep with them, they tell them to pay money. Yeah, we're going to have those conversations as time goes on. But right now, this particular stage where we're in, we're having conversations about lecturers who are collecting, you know, sex for grades. And I think it's a very good thing to applaud. You know, the National Assembly just recently passed the bill in the awakening of this sex for grade thing, where they are saying that for every lecturer who is caught and after being investigated, you know, is going to pay a fine. It's going to be like, I think, 5 years in prison and everything. And I think that's a step forward. But there's still so much more to be doing. With the ongoing documentary that's, you know, gaining momentum and everything, a lot of lecturers, you know, they are trying to be careful, but we should not let it die down, because after a couple of months now, these people, they're like chameleons. They will go back, and we can't need to stop. I think students will need to, you know, start getting wiser. We are hearing cases of, right now, some lecturers will say, if you want to come to my office, don't come with your phones. I think electronic companies who deal with electronic gadgets should start, you know, improvising, making these cameras, microphone accessible. The people can put on their buttons in their hair and their glasses. So when they are having these conversations with lecturers, they can be recorded. It's time for us to start bringing these people to book. A lot of people are not as lucky as I am, you know, so on, because they had someone, you know, who was also a professor in the school. And, you know, some people even had, and the people were pressurizing them just to them that, we'll just go for it, because this person is also doing what you are doing. I think that's another thing. Sometimes you know a lecturer, you know a professor, you know someone in the school, but the other lecturer that is pressurizing you also knows that this person that you know is also doing the same thing. So why shouldn't they extend this hand of, you know, collecting sex for grades? And I believe that this is a very, you know, nice conversations that we should be having right now. Parents should also strive to be having these conversations with their children. You know, yeah. I just remembered another thing that struck me from the documentary was that Professor Boniface, Dr. Boniface, whatever he is, he was telling the lady who was on the cover that, oh, you have to do whatever I tell you to do. If not, I'll report you to your mom. And, you know, she'll discipline because you are disobedient. I believe that parents should get to the place where you believe whatever your kids say first. Whatsoever it is they are saying, this uncle touched me, this man did this, this man looks at me in a certain way, this man does that, this woman does this. I believe that parents should begin to get to the point where you believe your children first, before any other relative, before any other person. Let your kids always come first. Anyway, if you are here to check out the documentary, probably you're not in Nigeria, you don't know what's going on, you can check out BBC Africa on YouTube. Documentary is there. A lot of conversations are going on about it. These behaviors are appalling, and I believe that they should be called out. Each of the professors, each of the lecturers should be called out. If you are listening to this podcast and you've ever experienced, you know, assault in the hands of your lecturers or whatever, I would like to hear from you. And I also believe that you should share your story. You should actually tell your story. Call these people out. The thing about assault, the thing about, you know, sexual assault, is that the more we keep quiet, there might be one or two people who are going through those, you know, who are going through those incidents, through those scenarios we pass through. And as long as we do not talk, as long as we keep quiet, they gain power over us. As long as we keep quiet, these people will still keep on perpetrating what they are doing in their actions. So I believe this is the best time right now. The fact that we are having these conversations is a wonderful time to be alive, to have these conversations. A lot of our mothers, a lot of our aunties, a lot of our sisters, you know, couldn't have these conversations, and they had to succumb to the pressure, you know, because of what they were going through, because probably they felt they didn't have any choice, or there was no going forward or going backward about it. They just had to do it. But right now we have a choice. Technology is helping. Let us start having these conversations. I'll be looking forward to hear from you guys. Do have a lovely week. Cheers. Bye.